as when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me both south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Amen. You can be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, just a closer walk with thee. How many of you know that song? That's a precious song out of our hymnals. Just a closer walk with thee. I want us to look at this and focus our thoughts around that title this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, it is so good to be with the family of God. I thank you for the fellowship, the harmony, the spirit that we have in this place, Father. I sense that all of us are here tonight not to be seen, Father, but to hear your word. God, to hear what you have to say, to have our hearts spoken to this evening, whether it be for chastening or encouraging, Father, whether you maybe deal with certain sins and certain places in our hearts and life, the apathy or the lukewarmness that we have, or whether it be to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us to mount with wings as eagles, Father. God, I pray that you'd move and work in our hearts tonight as we preach your word. Father, we pray that you'd also save the lost. There may be those within our midst, Father, that know not the Lord Jesus. They have never genuinely placed their faith and trust in him. We pray that today that they would do so, God. God, have your sweet will and way as we preach your word. Help me. Hide me behind the cross, Father. Use me for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Years ago, every month, I would preach at least one night. I believe it was the fourth Wednesday night of the month. I would preach at the Union Gospel Mission. This is when it was downtown on Main Street. For several years, I think from somewhere around 2003 until I took this church in 2007, I would be there at least once a month preaching to the Rescue Mission, those homeless men down at the Union Gospel Mission. Now, when I would do that, I would do the entire service myself. And so I'd lead the singing, I'd do the prayer request, I'd take up the prayer request, we'd take up the offering, I'd sing the special, and then preach the message. By the time I finished, I was one tired puppy. Amen. And so, but during that service, oftentimes, we would do prayer requests, much like we do on a Wednesday night here, where I open up the floor and let you tell what you want us to pray for, what need you have in your heart. Oftentimes, I would do that with these men. Now, sometimes you got to be careful because, man, there's some crazy things going on when you give the floor to somebody, you know, that may not be all there, all right? And so, but I remember one occasion, it was when I first started going to the Union Gospel Mission, had that prayer request time, and I said, does anybody on my left have a prayer request? And next to the back row, a few seats from the back row, there was a black man that took his hand and lifted it up in the air, and he said this. He said, now remember, when I did the singing, I never took a prayer request, all right? A song request. Because when I did that, one time. And when I did it, it was five songs. I didn't know how to sing, and so it was embarrassing. So I never do song requests, but I did prayer requests. And the fellow in the back room, he raised his hand, and he said these words, and this is just how he said it. I said, anybody have any prayer requests? He raised his hand and said, just a closer walk with thee, and put his hand down. Now, the first time I heard that, I didn't know what to do. I kind of froze. I was like, this is prayer request time, not song request time. Now, I recognized that it was a song. And so I just kind of froze there for a second, the same thing. And then went on to the next one. I wrote it down. You know, I usually, back then I'd write them down. Just closer walk with thee. And I wrote it down and moved on to the next one. Well, next month I came in, the same fella from the same seat did the same thing to me. When it come prayer request time, he lifted up his hand. I said, sir, what's your prayer request? He said, just a closer walk with thee. I'm telling you, month after month after month after month, it was the same request every time. Just a closer walk with thee. Now, I know that he wasn't talking about having a closer walk with me. With thee, that means he's pointing back to me. But he is talking about the song that is associated with that title. And his prayer request was not a song request. It was his prayer to have a closer walk with Jesus. Do you remember that song, Closer Walk with Thee? Listen to the verse and chorus of how that song goes. The song goes this way. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all harm. Listen to this. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. The chorus rings out, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. But notice that phrase in there. He said, I'll be satisfied as long as I walk close to the Lord Jesus. I believe that was the plea of this homeless man's life. He wanted to walk closer to the Lord Jesus. I believe that's what he meant when he lifted up his hand. He wasn't requesting a song. He was requesting a walk. He was requesting a relationship, a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus. What was the earnest desire of that homeless man at the Union Gospel Mission should very well be the exact heartfelt plea of every child of God in this room tonight. There should be no satisfaction in our hearts and lives when we are not walking close to the Lord Jesus. Now, the few verses that are before us tonight, verses 11 down through verses number 15, they give us the account of a young man named Othniel. Othniel, who was not contented to have a distant family relationship with Aksa, the daughter of Caleb, but wanted a closer relationship. He wanted something more than just being cousins, more than just being casually related. He wanted relational intimacy. He wanted a closeness with Aksa that he could not have outside of that. Now, he did not want just a run-of-the-mill, a relationship, one that was just average. He was willing to do whatever it takes. Now listen to me. Whatever it took for him to have a closer relationship with Aksa, he was willing to do it. My proposition to you tonight, my asking for you is this. Would you take a good heart inventory of your relationship with Jesus? Would you take a step back and look at your life, look at your relationship with the Lord Jesus, and take an inventory? Are you close to the Lord Jesus? Would you describe your relationship with the Lord as a surface familial relationship or a serious interpersonal relationship? If it is not where it should be, I want you to know that your relationship to the Lord can be something that is more satisfying, far more satisfying than it has been in the past. You see, we can all be closer to the Lord Jesus. Every child of God, saved by God's grace, born into the family of God through the saving grace of the Lord Jesus, can experience a deep, a rich experiential relationship with Jesus by following three instructions drawn from our text. Here recently, I got a hold of an audio book. It's a biography on the life of A.W. Tozer. I don't know if you've read much of A.W. Tozer. It takes me a while. He's a pretty deep fella. He uses a lot of big words, and it's hard to follow. But one thing they said about A.W. Tozer is that he had a relationship with Jesus that was the preeminent thing in his life. He had a deep and close relationship with God. As I begin to listen to that book and as it began to speak to my heart, I thought, that is what I want in my life. I want a rich and close relationship. If the truth be known, and most of you may well be able to join me in this song tonight, the truth be known, is I still feel as though I am so far that I don't have the closeness that I should, that I don't have the intimacy with Christ that I ought to have. Here in this text, I believe there's instructions that will help us to bridge that gap, to have the relationship that we've always wanted with the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to notice a few things. First of all, the first instruction I want you to see is affirm the standing we possess. affirm the standing that we possess. Now, if you recall, Caleb was one of two spies that entered the land. Notice in verse number 19, he just drops a bomb on us and says, Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. Now, we recently went through the book of Joshua together, and Caleb is a rather notable figure in the book of Joshua. Caleb was one of the two spies that went into Canaan's land. You remember the old children's songs, two spies into the Canaan's land, or no, ten spies into the Canaan's land. Eight were bad and two were good, something like that. Well, Caleb was one of the two that were the good spies. Yes, he saw the giants of the land. Yes, he saw the great bulwarks of the great cities there that stood as fortresses against Israel. But he also saw a great God that is able to prevail, that is able to win. He saw that these cities were no match for his God. And because of this, because of his faithful report of the land that, of Canaan and their God's ability to take it, Caleb was given some special promises. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy 1:36 gives us that promise. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. In Joshua 15, we read that Caleb was able to take the entire land. Remember, Caleb was the one, give me that mountain, Joshua. It's long overdue. I'm 80 years old. Oh, but I've got this young, I've got the strength of a young man, and I'll take that land. Give me that mountain. Joshua said, okay, Caleb, you go do it. Go take it. And Caleb does, sure as the world, takes over most of that land. But there was one place that he couldn't. There was one place that was a stronghold. And that was Kirjath-Sefer. It was an entrenched stronghold. And this sets the stage for our hero, Othniel, to come on the scene. As we get down further into the book of Judges, we'll find that Othniel, he becomes the very first judge in the land of Egypt. He becomes the first judge in the book of Judges. And so these are some humble beginnings of this great judge, Othniel. Now notice, first of all, I want you to see the secure position that we hold. Look at verse number 13. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Notice he describes the relationship that Othniel had with Caleb. You see, Othniel was not a stranger to the family of Caleb. Caleb was his uncle. That made Aksa his cousin. This is kind of taking on a southern flair here. They're going to be kissing cousins. That's the situation here. But Aksa and Othniel are related. They are cousins. And Caleb is his uncle. Now, there was a family familiarity between Othniel and Aksa. Anytime Othniel wanted to talk to her, he could come over there and he could talk to Aksa. Anytime that he wanted to come by and see her, he was part of the family. He was more than welcome to come by and see Aksa. He was welcome to come over. He was not treated with suspicion as some kind of outsider, but he was family. You see, this is a true of every believer in Jesus Christ. You know, we often like to sing that little chorus that says, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Well, that is the case. I really reinforce the fact that we ought to call each other brother and sister, because we are indeed a part of the family of God. If you're saved and I'm saved, then we are brother and brother, or brother and sister. We have a relationship. We are in the family of God. Every true believer is, and Jesus Christ is part of this family. From the moment we repent and believe the gospel, we are entreated to come and to boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. You see, we are a part of God's family. We're welcome to linger in His presence, to enjoy Christ's comfort, to cast our burdens on Him, to share our hearts with Him. Jesus told the people of His day, and it rings true with us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. 1 Peter I think it's 2 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You see, being a part of the family of God has its benefits. I don't care where you are in your relationship. If you're saved today, you are more than welcome to come to the Lord Jesus. Whatever your need, whatever your sin, whatever your problem, whatever your burden, you can bring it to the Lord Jesus. He is always open. His arms are outstretched. You are a part of the family of God. You are a child of God. You always have that welcome. Notice also, we see not only a secure position that we hold, but I want you to see in this text the special place we hope. The special place we hope. Look at verse number 12. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. You see, this position is in the family. This position that is in the family, no matter how wonderful it was, to Othniel became unsatisfactory. It wasn't satisfying. Maybe it was the twinkle in Axe's eye as he come by the house. And maybe she was retrieving water and she brought it in. Maybe it was the twinkle in Axe's eye that he noticed one day. Maybe it was the warmth of her smile. But somewhere along the way, Othniel fell in love. This is a love story right here. This is good stuff. This is a love story. Othniel fell in love with Aksa. He longed for more than just an acquaintance. He wanted to have an intimate, a personal, a matrimonial, a closer relationship with Aksa. A relationship that said, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Oh, how true it is. This is the mindset of the maturing believer. The one who is growing in the Lord Jesus. Who begins to realize the love and the grace of Christ. Who begins to stand in awe of the cross of Calvary. Who through those infant years begins to see all that Jesus Christ has done for them. All that He has blessed us with in the heavenly places. All that is our standing before God. And He wants nothing more. She wants nothing more than to be closer. Just a closer walk. You see, Othniel couldn't take it anymore of just being a cousin. He wanted to be a husband. He wanted to be closer to her. A more intimate relationship. I wonder, as you have walked with the Lord Jesus, has there been a time when you have hoped for something more? Something special? A special place of intimacy where you are not just living a casual, lukewarm kind of Christianity, but are longing for a close, daily communion with the Jesus of Nazareth, with the one that walked upon across the page of time and impacted this entire world, the one that died on the cross for your sin and rose from the grave. Have you ever come to the point where you said, I want to know Him. I want to be close to Him. I want Him to occupy my life. I want Him to occupy my days and my nights. I want Him to be my all-consuming objective. Oh, listen, you affirm the standing tonight. That's what I want you to realize in the first text, that He had a relationship. He was in the family. Affirm that tonight. If you're here, you're saved by God's grace. You're in the family. You have the beginnings of a relationship, but a relationship that can go further. You're in the family, no doubt about it. But I wonder, is there a yearning? Is there a heartfelt desire to move on further with Jesus? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired of the pain, of the lukewarmness, of the apathy of our Christian life? When will we break beyond that and say, today I am committing myself to know Him more? That's the mindset of optimism in this passage. Affirm the standing we possess. Notice secondly, I want you to see that we must assail the strongholds we face. Assail the strongholds that we face. Now the developing love of Othniel was given a moment to manifest itself in action. course, we read it earlier. But Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife." He is given a golden opportunity to put shoe leather on his desire. I mean, can you see off the Yale? Pick a rock, maybe sit down by the side of the road. He wants to know her better, and he's just got no opportunity. He's got the lovesick blues. Oh, he's got the lovesick blues. He wants to know Aksa. All of a sudden, his buddy comes by and says, "Hey, did you hear the news? Aksa's getting married." "Oh, what? Can you imagine Othniel surprised? What do you mean she's getting married?" And then the friend begins to relay what Caleb had just told the people. "If whoever will take Kirjath-Sefer, then he will give Aksa to Mary." Caleb said that who takes that city, he'll give Aksa to Mary. Can you see him jump to his feet? Othniel said, "Ha! Here's my chance. Here's my opportunity. I can take this city and have my beloved as more than a cousin, as my wife. Here is my chance." I want you to know that there is no one left out of this opportunity. I don't care if you're 55 or 75 here tonight. None of us are left out in going on further and closer in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. I notice, first of all, we see the opposition to attack. You see, this deeper relationship, this closer walk with the Lord Jesus, it does come at a price. Now, I want you to know, being in the family is free. If you'll repent of your sin, if you will turn and put your trust in Jesus Christ, the arms are wide open. You can come into the family. It won't cost you a thing. But oftentimes, a deeper relationship, a closer relationship than just run-of-the-mill norm, a mediocrity, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost a price to have this kind of relationship. And that is the opposition we must attack. Now there it is, Kirjath-Sefer. Right there, right slam in the middle of Caleb's promised territory. Ivor Powell called it a stronghold of hell. He called it a stronghold of hell. It was seen immovable in Caleb's promised land. An entrenched enemy of God and all of God's people. You see, this land was a free land. God said it. "I give it to you, Caleb. It is yours. Now go and take it." Wasn't that always the proposition there in Joshua? "It's yours, Israel. It's yours, the ones that have survived the 40 years in the wilderness. All you've got to do is take it, I promise, and go out and take it." That's what is given to Caleb here. It's an entrenched enemy. And this land is free. It's given by the promise of God. But it still has to be taken. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." This is as true today as it was to those that Jesus said it to in the New Testament. But an abundant Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's a life of battle. It's a life of warfare. There are deeply entrenched enemies in our flesh that we must overthrow. There are territories of worldliness that we must invade. There is the ever-roving devil that we must clash with on a day in and day out basis. Ask yourself right now, what is it that's keeping you from going on with God? I mean, really, what is it that stronghold of hell, Ivor Powell called it, in the midst of your life, that keeps you from taking all the territory that God has given you? There is an opposition to attack. There is something that we must take in our lives. I mean, what is it that's keeping you from going on? Is it a love for the things of this world? Are the things of this world so precious that you are unwilling to relinquish them, and you've decided just to accommodate? Kirk Pepsi. I know this is a high point right now in the first book of Judges, but as you go further, the more accommodations the people of God make, the more times they say, what's the use? I'll just live with it. The worse the story gets. Is there something in your life that you just said, I'm powerless to fight against it? There's no way that I can win. There's nothing. Is there some secret sin, some addiction that binds you and keeps you from taking all that God has promised you? What is the sin, as Hebrews 12 tells us, that so easily besets you? I'm telling you, that is a kerchief sheep. And that cannot be allowed to just linger. It cannot be allowed just to hang around. It must be attacked with focus, with a strength, with the power of God. Here we find that there is opposition that must be attacked. Notice we see an opposition to attack, but also an objective to obtain. Now, I don't know how it did. I mean, listen. This is one part of the story. Boy, I wish I could sing. In the big fight scene. I always like the big fight scene in the movie. And so this is one. And it's just boiled down to just a few words. In verse number 13, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. It just says that the young man took this city, this entrenched enemy. It was clearly a miraculous battlefield victory. Just like we see over and over and over and over again in all the Old Testament battles. You know what the key to the Old Testament battles is? God fights our battles. We go on the battlefield. We hold the spears. We hold the swords. But God is the prevailing power in the battle. Here this young man, Othniel, he leads an army and he takes this stronghold and God wins the battle. But as we imagine this victory parade, don't forget about why he won this battle. As all of the soldiers are beating their chests and raising their hands, Othniel, what was his prize achievement? What was the reason that he went into this battle? It was not for the acclaim of men. It was not for some great accomplishment or make a name for himself. There wasn't even a guarantee that Othniel would get a share of the land that he took in Caleb's territory. His sole purpose, his main objective in fighting this battle was for the love of Isaac, to solely win his beloved. In the words of that great American poet and songwriter, Roger Miller. I'm sure that Othniel was humming these words, there's no limit to all I'd go through for you. Anything you ask of me, I'll make it my destiny. I thunder rolling, lightning flashing right through the middle of it. I'd go dashing just to show how far I'd go for you. I've always wanted to use that message. That's the kind of heart. That's the kind of heart that Othniel had. Whatever it took, I love her enough that I will take on any enemy. I'll take on any stronghold to have her hand. See, that is the mindset for us. What a spell love casts on the human heart. You think about Jacob. Jacob labored as a slave 14 years. 14 years for his beloved Rachel. One preacher said this, there is no limit to what a man will attempt when love reigns within. Paul said that it was the love of Christ that constrained him. Daily he went out to bring all things under the subjection of Christ. Othniel could never have won access if he would have stayed in his living room with his feet propped up and his sneakers off. You understand what I'm saying? Othniel could have never had his beautiful bride and just sit in the living room and say, man, that's a great opportunity for somebody. He had to say for himself, I will take that. That will be mine. It is mine to claim. It is mine to have. By the power of God, by God's strength, by God's ability, I will take that city. I will take that stronghold. He had to go out and fight the battle to win her hand. The same is true as with us. If we would enjoy the sweet communion, the sweet fellowship of walking closer to the Lord Jesus every day, there are some strongholds that we must face. You might well throw down the gauntlet tonight and say, this is going to be a battle of blood. I'm not going to sit by and let this stronghold remain and separate me from the close walk that I deserve to have with the Lord Jesus, that is my birthright to have. Throw the gauntlet down tonight. Say, we are going to fight a battle, and Kerjath Shefer, by the power of God, not of myself, but by God's power, will be dethroned, and I will have my beloved. This is what we must do. Affirm our standing that we possess. Assail the strongholds that we face. Finally, we must apprehend the share we enjoy. We must apprehend the share we enjoy. Well, old Caleb was true to his word, wasn't he? I believe he was delighted to give his daughter's hand in marriage to this courageous young warrior. I don't believe Aksa had any objections either to land this hunk of a soldier boy by her side. I mean, listen, this was big news among the people of Israel. Othniel, the big war hero, comes back and takes probably one of the most well-known daughters of Israel, Aksa, the daughter of Caleb. I mean, this was big news. Finally, his dreams had come true. His aspirations had come true. Now the look in her eye, the touch of her hand was different than it had ever been before. It was a whole new experience. A whole new experience and intimacy. Listen to me. This ought to be the aspiration and the desire of every one of us here tonight. Of every child of God. If you're saved tonight, if you know the Lord is your Savior, it is our consummate desire to have that close relationship with the Lord Jesus. Listen, a lot of talk about revival here in these days and times. Are we going to ever see revival again? I don't know if America will ever see what it saw in the 1700s and in the 1800s with the first Great Awakening or the second Great Awakening. I don't know if we'll ever see a community-wide revival as we've heard about in days gone by. I don't know if we as a church will ever have the wind of revival blow through our midst. And I pray, God, we do. But there is no reason under the sun that you cannot have a personal revival, a personal intimacy, a victorious Christian life. There's no reason in the world that you and I cannot experience a personal revival. I like what one preacher said. He said, you can have as much of God as you want. The truth of the matter is, many of us go outside and look at the Kerjath Shefers that we face and say, I just can't do it. And you're right. You're right. You can't. But all Othniel had to do was step on the battlefield, and God would fulfill his promise to give it to Caleb. God will fulfill his promise to the victory in your life. You see the affection that was given. Also, I want you to see the access that was given. By marriage now, by marriage to Aksa, Othniel gained special access to Caleb. Caleb was the owner of the promise, all right? Othniel got Aksa. That was his reward for taking the city, okay? But the main promise holder was Caleb. Now,
I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was dogging out his son-in-law. Now, he was telling how much he didn't like his son-in-law. He must not have the son-in-law like I have the son-in-law. I've got a great son-in-law. I've got a good man, for my daughter, Allison. But he was dogging out his son-in-law. But he said his problem was is that he loved his little girl. And anything that his little girl wanted and she came by and asked for, he'd give it to her and it'd land right in that old son-in-law that he couldn't stand. You see, through the wife, through the daughter, the son-in-law had access to the father. All right, give him a picture here. Listen, little girls often have their hearts wrapped around, or their father's hearts wrapped around their little fingers. Well, Aksa had the heart of her father wrapped around her little finger. Look at verse number 15 or 14. And it came to pass as she came to him, meaning Caleb, and showed that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off of her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said unto him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water." And notice how it ends. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now, who's all this ultimately going to go to? Othniel. Othniel is the winner in this situation. But it is through Aksa that Othniel has access to the father. Therefore, through Aksa, Othniel had the ear of the Father. Thank God, as believers on the Lord Jesus, we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John tells us, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In an intimate, abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus, we have special admittance. We have access to the Father. You remember John chapter 15? John chapter 15 is that chapter that's characterized by the vine. And Jesus often, he starts out the chapter by saying that I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And Jesus goes on to say in John 15, look at verse number 7. He said, "And if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you." You see, in that abiding relationship, in that close abiding relationship, you know what abiding means? It means to take up residence, to move in and open up all the doors and open up all the cabinets and open up all the closets and say, "My house is your house." In an abiding situation with the Lord Jesus, we have special access into the Father. Notice, last of all, we see an access, a given, an affection given, also an abundance granted. In abundance granted. Look at verse number 15. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. She asked for this special blessing of springs of water for her and her new husband. Waters that would make the land fruitful. That was the whole objective of the area in which was taken. And the area of Debir that is mentioned there is an area that is very arid and dry. These springs were necessary to irrigate that land and to make it fruitful, to make it profitable. She needed waters in abundance. She needed waters of necessity. And old Caleb just could not say no, could he? He couldn't tell her no. She came to him and he gave her her request. Listen, whenever you see springs in the Old Testament, whenever you see moving water and bubbling water, it is always a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit of God. John 7, 38 and 39, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this, John comments, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which he hath, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified." He was saying of those springs of water that come out of the belly of every one of those that believe, it is that precious presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The rich, abundant Christian life is not found in possessions. It's not found in positions. It's not found in profit. the riches of the Christian life are all the spiritual blessings that are found in Jesus Christ and the ever-flowing presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Othniel teaches us a lesson that we, as that homeless man used to request all the time, we can have a closer walk with Jesus. But it comes at the price of going into the battlefield against that which stands against God, that which is unrighteous, which is unholy, that squats on the promise of God, that stands between us and a close and rich relationship with Jesus. We must pay the price of conflict with that which holds us back. In close, listen to what Paul said in Philippians 3:8. And I believe this really brings into focus what I'm talking about here tonight. Philippians 3:8, Paul said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung." Notice what he said. "That I may win Christ." Now, what in the world is Paul talking about? Is Paul talking about being saved? No. Paul was saved on the Damascus Road years before he ever wrote the letter to the Philippian people. What is he talking about? To win Christ. I believe Paul is talking about the pursuit, the lifelong desire to have that close, deep, abiding, personal relationship with Jesus. One preacher was asked years ago, "How real is God to you?" And the godly man said, "He's as real as the skin on my flesh." Oh, would to God we all had that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus. That we all had just a closer walk with Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, there's opportunity to come to this family. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you will repent of your sin, that turn away from living life of sin and self, and you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus, He will save you. He will welcome you into this family. But if you're here tonight, and you say, "I know what you're talking about. My Christian walk has been, I wouldn't tell it to anybody because I'm a Baptist, but the truth of the matter is, it's been unsatisfying." More times than not, that means there is a Kerjeff Schiefer sitting in the middle of your heart. It may come in the form of a sin. It may come in the form of a bitterness. It may come in the form of just an apathy. But it must be taken for you to experience the close, deep relationship that God says that we can have. That deep, abiding relationship that every one of us have as a birthright. You call upon Him tonight. Maybe you need to throw down the gauntlet and say, "Tonight, the battle starts. I am going to take my Kerjeff Schiefer and I'm going to walk closer with Jesus." Maybe it's your devotional life. Maybe it's reading your Bible the way you should. Maybe it's your attendance upon the house of the Lord. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe it's a secret sin that needs to be repented of and confessed and made right with God tonight. Do it tonight. You are forfeiting a relationship that is so fulfilling, that is so thrilling. Every day walking with Jesus, walking with the God of heaven every day, cannot be compared to anything in this life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You and I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your word. Father, I pray that You would help us all to walk in that closer walk with You. Oh God, help us to have that close walk with You. God, I want to know You more. I want to be closer to You. God, help me tear down my Kerjeff Schiefers, those things that stand between me and You. My laziness, my apathy, Father. My discouragement, my depression, Father. Help me to take them, Father. Let me throw down the gauntlet tonight and go into battle. Help us all to do that, Father. God, I pray that you'd breathe afresh and anew on our life and help us to know you in ways we've never known you before. God, be with us in our prayer time. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.